My father, and nothing but an old dirt farmer. It's all he's ever been. It's all he's ever going to be. He never had any education beyond the 12th grade. And truth be told, the way he tells it, the school, the high school where he went at that time at least, was so pathetic that he might have not even went. So you can back that 12th grade up to the 8th grade. I mean, that's it. 8th grade education for all practical intents and purposes. He has spent, wasted, his entire life kicking around this little town, nothing of a town, 2,500 people. He has literally never moved more than 9 miles from the actual spot where he was born. Can you believe that? I mean, give me a break. My father is an extremely intelligent man. Independent, self-made in the best sense of that word. For 53 years, he was extremely successful in a very difficult business that ate a lot of people alive over those 53 years, and that's production agriculture, which is basically an occupation that combines a number of fields of science and technology together in an effort to feed the world. And that is true, to actually feed the world. That is a worthwhile occupation. That is a life well spent. And while he has traveled our great nation from coast to coast, and he has seen every historical marker and every historical building and many of the just natural monuments like the Grand Canyon that we have in this country. He's seen all of that. While he has traveled and traveled and traveled and seen all of those things, he's never forsaken his loyalty or his love of the place that got him started, my hometown. And he has served that community in numerous elected offices, the school board and the nursing home board, and he's been an elder in the local church. And he's served that community in just a number of volunteer positions, just to serve, just to help out, putting out the flags at times like 4th of July up and down Main Street, flipping burgers for the Rotary Club at the local fair, just serving the people he knows and loves and who have got him started. I just described to you the exact same person. Nothing I told you was factually incorrect. All the facts were true. The only difference was attitude. One paragraph chose to be respectful. The other paragraph did not. Disrespect, dishonor, be pretty ugly, can it? Just ugly. We think of honor or respect as belonging only to those who we perceive as having earned it. And there is some place for that. There are people who, for what they have done and what they have accomplished, they deserve double honor. They deserve double respect. A collection of very unique people got together a couple of hundred years ago and started a country. And it's been the most unbelievable, amazing thing over the last 200 plus years. Freedom, unlike mankind, is ever known prior to that time. And really unique in history and in its place in the world. Those men deserve some double honor, some double respect. And so we stop every 4th of July. And we give them double honor and we give them double respect. And we do as they would have us do. And that is thank God for what was accomplished here and the freedom we have. There is a place for that. But on a day-to-day, in-and-out level, we think respect belongs only to those who we perceive as having earned it, but that's just not the case. We see things so very narrowly, and we perceive people through such a small window, and it's often self-serving when we make these distinctions and decide, well, this person deserves to be treated respectfully, and this person deserves to not be treated respectfully. And the fact is that God calls us, commands us, asks us to give respect to others in spite of how we may be perceiving them in the moment. Our often arbitrary criteria does not enter into the equation. And there are three main reasons given in the Bible why we are called to just offer respect to other people and treat people with respect. And the first one is a very general reason, and is this: they were created by God in His image. And because of what God did, creating them in his image, they deserve to be treated with respect. They deserve to be treated honorably. We find this very concept in our Declaration of Independence. Our rights are inalienable because they were endowed to us by our Creator. And no other man on planet has the right to take our freedom from us. He may do so, but he should not do so, because as an individual created by God, we deserve to be treated with respect. Each of us. Another very general reason that God calls us to treat people with respect and with honor in his word. And that is that he cared enough for them, he loved them enough that he sent his only son to die on the cross for them. If that's the value God places on each individual human being, then we ought to treat them with respect and with honor. And then there's a specific reason that you find in Scripture in several places, and that is they hold some position of authority in our lives that God has allowed them to have. They may be abusing it, they may be misusing it, but God calls us to do what's right in spite of how they may be behaving, and to treat them with respect and with honor. And such is the case with our parents. If you have your Bibles with you, I hope you turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, we're going to be looking at verse 12 as we continue through our series through the Ten Commandments. You could probably take a guess at where this might be heading if you're familiar with the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and it reads this way. It says, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Let's pray. Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we just pray now as we work through the implications of this call of yours to honor our father and mother, to honor sort of the first authority you ever placed into our lives. I just pray that you would help us to not just understand what your word has to say. So that we can be transformed by the power of your Spirit and by the power of your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, when we are children, this commandment is largely about obedience. In fact, later in the New Testament, almost quoting it, but really referring back to it in Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul calls on it, says, "Children, obey your parents." He says, "For this is the first commandment with a promise," referring back to honor your father and mother. So as children, this really, in many instances, sort of boils down to obedience, to following the leadership that God has placed in our life through our mother and father. But this isn't a room full of children. There aren't many children in this room. This is a room full of adults. So how does this play out as adults? As adults, it's no longer about obedience. Hopefully our parents have accomplished their mission, which is to turn us into adults who live as adults and behave as adults and are mature like adults and aren't children any longer. So how do we as adult children honor our father and mother? And given the wide variety of situations in this world and experiences in this very room, that can be an even trickier question. How do I honor father and mother? I mean, thank God that many of us in this room had decent, godly parents. They loved us. They are at the center of many happy memories from our childhood. They helped us become an adult. They taught us about Jesus. Sure, they made mistakes. They're human. They're sinful. That happens. But at their core, they were decent, godly people. How do we honor them? If that was your experience, you probably have 50 things come to mind, because it's probably pretty simple, pretty easy for you if that was the case. Many of you in this room had parents who had no real spiritual life. Well, they probably believed in God in that way that all Americans believe in God, in a very general sort of way, but it had no impact on their day-to-day existence, their day-to-day life. There was no real spiritual life there, but they loved you. They helped you become an adult. You have many fond memories from your childhood that centers around these two people. They probably taught you a sort of basic understanding of right from wrong, maybe imparted to you a good work ethic, and we can thank God for that, because at their core, as far as people go, they were good, decent people, and we're thankful for them. But how do we honor them? The other unfortunate reality is, though, that some of you had parents who were abusive in some form or other. Physical, mental, even spiritually abusive. Eleanor's mother was, she was unmarried and a teenager when she found out that she was pregnant. And so they got married, her and the father of her baby, and they began to have more children. And Eleanor was, I believe, number four of what ended up being five children. And when Eleanor was eight, her father just decided to leave the whole family for another woman. And for all practical intents and purposes, I never really heard or saw him again. He may have been kicking around, but he might as well not have been if he was. I mean, it was just for all practical intents and purposes, he was gone. And as if abandonment wasn't abuse enough, Eleanor's mother married again. And stepdad was abusive to everybody in every way imaginable, and at least to Eleanor in ways that are sort of unimaginable. To add insult to that injury, Eleanor went to her mother and told her sort of the worst of what was happening to her, and her mother refused to believe her. Given the wide variety of experiences in this world, in this very room, how do we as adults honor our parents? Is this even expected of someone in Eleanor's position? And if so, how? How does she do that? Well, honor or respect is a choice that we make. We offer it or we withhold it. To honor and respect our father and mother is a choice that God does clearly, we read it in Scripture, ask us to make for our own sake, even when it's hard to do. Even in cases when the honor is most decidedly not deserved. In many instances, it is simply choosing to see them in a respectful light. You probably experienced this, or many of you probably experienced this as you grew up and as you got older. You sort of exited adolescence and moved into adulthood, and at some point you just sort of decided to drop the attitude. And suddenly when you did that, you realized, well, mom and dad aren't so bad after all. They're not as bad as originally thought. And it changed. It was just sort of part of growing up and maturing and dropping the attitude. However, beyond just growing up and getting a bit of a clue, there are some other choices we can make across the board, no matter what situation we may have come out of. There are some other choices that we can make that will honor father and mother. And it begins with this. It seems a little strange, but the first choice that we can make that will bring honor to father and mother is to pursue wisdom. To pursue wisdom. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1 talks about this. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grieves his mother." And Proverbs chapter 23, verse 24, it reads this way, talking about the exact same concept of bringing honor to your father and mother by just pursuing wisdom in your life. "The father of a righteous man has great joy, but he who has a wise son delights in him." It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if your father and mother are godly or ungodly. It doesn't matter if your father and mother were present or absent. It doesn't matter if your father or mother were wise or were foolish. It doesn't matter if your father or mother were loving or were abusive. It doesn't matter if they are alive or if they have been gone for years. It doesn't matter if they are deserving or undeserving. It doesn't matter who or what your parents are or who or what your parents were. You can obey God's fifth commandment. You can have honor and bring honor to your father and your mother, and you can have a more worthwhile existence for yourself if you will just simply pursue wisdom. Just pursue wisdom. Every time you make a wise choice, every time you choose to do what's right instead of what is wrong, people think they must come from a good home. Your parents may have nothing to do with it. You may not come from a good home, but you've just brought honor to yourself, to your parents, deserving or undeserving, And to the God who loves you and is completely 100% deserving of all praise and honor. And don't make the mistake of believing that wisdom comes with age. A common mistake in our culture. You can read from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through to the maps, and you will never find a verse that says wisdom comes with age. It's right in there with cleanliness is next to godliness, and the Lord helps those who help themselves, which means it's not in there at all. Commonly thought that it's there, but it's not there. Experience comes with age, and that is of value if it's paired with wisdom. If it's understood correctly and paired with wisdom and seen, those experiences are seen and interpreted for what they really are. But age does not bring wisdom. The Bible is clear that there is only one source of wisdom and two means by which you can get it. The one source is God, period. And the two means, the first is fearing God. Proverbs 1:7 says, the beginning of wisdom and knowledge is fear of the Lord. That's a healthy respect, a healthy understanding for the nature of God, His righteousness, His judgment, His wisdom, His justice, His righteousness. A healthy respect, a healthy fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. And James 1:5 says, just ask for it. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God who gives generously to all men. So it comes from God, and it comes by two means. One, it comes from a good, healthy understanding of how awesome and overwhelming God is. Fear the Lord. And two, just ask God for it, because He is generous. He is generous. Here's the deal. A young person pursuing wisdom. This is one of the great things about what happens in our children's ministry. Just as a side note, one of the concepts that they try to teach children is to make wise choices. We don't often associate wisdom with youth, for good reason. We don't often associate wisdom with youth, but we should not saddle young people with the idea of, you can't help it, just be foolish till you're 40. And then suddenly you can make wise choices and try to untangle the mess you've made for the last 40 years. That's a dumb idea. How about this? You start making wise choices today. You can make wise choices today. You start making wise choices today. That way, as you accumulate experiences over your life, you'll understand it correctly for what it is. And you can make adjustments. And you can gain ground and not get lost for 25 or 30 years in a mess and then have to untangle it. But here's the bottom line with this. A young person pursuing wisdom and making wise choices brings honor to their father and mother. An elderly person, you can go all the way to the other end of the spectrum, an elderly person who pairs wisdom with their experience is not only a treasure, but they also bring honor to their father and mother, even if their father and mother have been gone for three decades. But a fool is a fool is a fool is a fool, no matter what age he is, and he brings no honor to anyone in any circumstance at any time. Proverbs 17:21. To have a fool for a son brings grief. There is no joy for the father of a fool. So the first choice is to pursue wisdom in your life. And no matter what your home situation was like, it will bring honor to your father and mother. You will be obeying God's fifth commandment and bringing that light and that wisdom into your life. The second choice that we can make is to extend forgiveness. If you pursue godly wisdom, you will arrive at the conclusion that a wise person extends forgiveness. A wise person extends forgiveness. Even the best of parents are what? They're sinners, and they make mistakes. Been a parent for 5 minutes, it's abundantly clear, I don't know what I'm doing. This is going to be interesting over the next 18 years. I don't know what I'm doing. We all enter adulthood with some kind of baggage from mom and dad. It's just part of life. It's part of what makes us who we are to some extent. Some of us, we enter into adulthood, and the baggage we receive from it is like a little travel kit that you buy at Walmart. It's so small, you hardly even notice it's there. And someday you mature far enough where you even forgot that you had it. You've misplaced it forever. And you've extended forgiveness by accident and moved on in your life because it was just, you know, it was about that big and you lost track of it. Some of us, you wander around with an overnight bag. Most of the time, it does not interfere with your journey through adult life, but occasionally it's uncomfortable. Occasionally it's in the way. It gets in the way of other relationships. And it might mean that a conversation needs to be had. You know, Dad, when this happened, it really just, maybe I'm seeing it wrong, but it hurt my feelings and I still think about it and it still bothers me, and some I'm sorry's can be exchanged. We just set that bag down and walk off away from it and be done with it. Some carrying around a couple of suitcases. And it makes it a little hard just to get through life sometimes. And those suitcases are always in the way, because they're the big Samsonite jobs, and they're always in the way of any connection or relationship you're trying to build with another human being, and maybe even God. It's scary to think that the primary metaphor for God is a father. As a father, that's scary. Fathers, you need to think about that. What you're modeling, but it's just sort of in the way because you're carrying these Samsonite suitcases around with you all the time. And it might mean that it's a series of tough discussions. Perhaps, maybe, it will require getting some advice from a professional, or it might just be a simple matter of creating some grown-up boundaries in your life between yourself and your parents. It might be that the problem is that you grew up, but one or both parents have yet to recognize that. That is a really big 30-year-old baby, you know, and you just need to set up some barriers and say, look, this is an adult-to-adult relationship now, and I love you, but we've got to set up some decent barriers. I don't have any other grown-up friends who interact with me this way or treat me like this. We've got to have something different happen here, and it won't be pleasant, but we can set those suitcases down, we can forgive, and we can move forward in life without all that baggage. For some situations, though, the analogy of carrying around luggage in an airport is a little too trite. It's too simplistic. Eleanor, that I told you about, she grew up and she got married and she began to have her own children, and I do not know how she got there. I've not had to work through anything like this ever in my life. I just don't understand how she got there. But she got to a place in her life where she was ready to try and reconcile. She was ready to start down the road of extending forgiveness to a father who had abandoned her and left her to the whims of a wickedly abusive stepdad. A father who should have been there protecting her was out running around, and she was left unguarded with a wicked man. I don't know how she did it, but she got to a place where she was ready to try to reconcile that. And so she loaded up her children and she drove to his home and she knocked on the door and he answered the door. And I really wish I could tell you that there was a tearful reunion. I wish I could say that he just begged her for forgiveness. I wish I could tell you that it was the beginning of something profound. But you know, life just doesn't work that way all the time. The effort was a disappointment. I don't know if it was shame over what he had done, I highly doubt it, or if it was just the same old self-centered selfishness that had caused him to do it in the first place, but he didn't really want to acknowledge her, let alone reconcile with her. But Eleanor brought honor to herself, and she brought honor to her completely undeserving parents, and she brought honor to her completely deserving God, who created her, and she did it by becoming the embodiment of Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 17, reads this way: "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible," sometimes it's just not possible. God recognizes that. But it says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath." There is a father who will straighten all this out for Eleanor one day. "Leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. No matter where we are right now, we can begin to pursue wisdom and honor our father and mother. It might be really difficult, but we can also make a choice to extend forgiveness, and that will honor our father and mother. And third of all, we can maintain connection. Don't let your connection to your parents wither. Maintain it. Invest in that relationship. In this day of cell phones and emails and text messages, and my grandma is on Facebook and Twitter and video chats that are, for all practical intents and purposes, almost free. You can maintain a connection. No matter where you happen to live, you can maintain that connection with your parents. One of the best ways you can do this is to respect what they have to say. Respect what they have to say. Seek their advice. You may choose to take it. You may choose not to take it. That's fine. You're an adult. You're grown up. But listen respectfully to what they have to say. Proverbs 23:22, very clearly written to adult children. If you read the whole verse, it says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother even when she is old." Clearly a verse for adult children. Find out what dad thinks about it. Find out what mom thinks about it. Don't despise their advice. See what they have to say. Include your parents in your life. You are an adult, or at least you should be. You are independent, or at least you should be. Time to move out of the basement, get a job, you know. You should be. You have grown up boundaries, adult boundaries in place in your life with your parents. It's an adult-to-adult relationship now. It's not adult-to-child anymore. Those boundaries need to be there. At least they should be. But none of that precludes you from keeping them involved in your life, seeking their advice, respectfully listening to what they have to say. You might find, many of you, that that combination of experience and wisdom is a pretty powerful asset in your life if you would just utilize it and seek it out. Even Eleanor, with her horrible situation, made an effort to connect to the father who abandoned her. And to tell you the truth, out of all her other brothers and sisters, she is also the one who maintains the strongest connection to her mother, who wasn't winning any Mother of the Year awards by a long stretch ever, even to this day. And she is the one who has begun to care for her mother and take care of her business and look after her, because she started to enter that stage of life where she can't do a lot of those things for herself anymore. Even Eleanor maintains the connection and cares for her mother and provides for her, which sort of brings us to the fourth choice we will all need to make probably at some point in our life, and that is to provide care. To honor our father and mother by providing care. Proverbs 19:26 says, "He who robs his father and drives out his mother is a son who brings shame and disgrace." And 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4 reads like this. It says, "But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice." Put your money where your mouth is. "By caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God." As they grow older, your parents will get to a place most likely where they have needs they may not be able to meet for themselves any longer. That could be hard to imagine. I think about the idea of my dad ever needing anybody to take care of him in any way. He's the guy who takes care of everybody else. And I can't fathom it. But the likelihood is that it will happen someday. The same with my mother, very independent, intelligent woman. The idea that they're going to need something from anybody, as opposed to the other way around, is as foreign to me as it could possibly be. But it will begin to happen most likely someday for all of us. We'll find that there are some physical needs that are going to be need to take care of. To be looked after. And it may be financial, or your parents may have been in a situation with their occupation where that's not an issue. It may just be seeing the bits of business for them that they just can't take care of anymore. You know, "Mom, You're 87 now. Maybe I should clean out the gutters. Right? Mom's like, 87? Forget that. I'm 36. You get up there and clean out those gutters. I'm not cleaning out gutters. You get the idea, though. There will be things that are going to need to start be looked after. And we need to take responsibility for those. There'll be emotional needs that need to be provided for. You got to maintain that connection. Treat them with dignity and respect. Despite their age, this is contrary to what our culture often does, unfortunately. We worship youth. Respect that age. Respect what those people did for you. Respect them. And here's a third one that I've gained or picked up on. One of the things that I do is work with our senior adults. And one of the things I found that is very, very important, and you'll instantly recognize why if you think it through, is independence. Help your mother and father maintain and fight for, on their behalf, to maintain their independence as long as they possibly can. Don't put them in harm. Don't let them put other people in harm's way. But help them maintain that independence for as long as they possibly can. You've lived your entire life standing on your own two feet, taking care of yourself, and somebody begins to presume just because your hair is turned white that you can't take care of yourself anymore. Especially when you know that that somebody's not that bright and they're telling you and you've been taking care of yourself for 72 years, hit the road, kid. Help them maintain that independence for as long as they possibly can, because it is an important way of respecting them. We each need to take responsibility for our parents as they enter the stage of life when they are in need of assistance. But don't take into it a minute too soon. Help them maintain that independence, honor and respect it. You know, I think about Eleanor and her story, and it's sad on one level, obviously. It's impressive on another level and inspiring to a certain degree. She had a really rough start in life, and there has been a price to pay for sins that she did not commit. And I don't want to sugarcoat anything or pretend that as life moved forward, there wasn't a lot of baggage she had to deal with, the things she had to work through, and I don't want to oversimplify it. But here's the deal. The general direction of her life, Eleanor's life, has been starkly different from that of her brothers and sisters. Raised in the same house, endured the same abuse and hardships, and yet her life has been radically different from theirs. Why? In a word, it's Jesus. When she was in high school back in the 60s and still running around in skirts so short she couldn't pick up a dropped book without showing the whole world her business, she made a friend with another girl. She made friends with a girl who was friends with Jesus and refused to pick up those books for her when asked. And that girl shared the good news with her. And when she began to put her faith and her trust in Jesus, everything changed. That cycle of abuse that usually repeats itself over and over in families was broken in her family. She diverged from the path that was headed for destruction. She went in a different direction. And from that point to this very day, she continues to grow her faith in a Father who gives wisdom generously when asked. She took a different path, and she continues to grow her faith in a Father who extends forgiveness through outstretched arms that are nailed to a cross. She continues to grow her faith in a Father who maintains that connection with her through the power of His Spirit and the power of His transforming Word. She continues to grow her faith in a Father who provides care that, quite honestly, is probably beyond our understanding. As King David wrote in Psalm 27, verse 10, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord, He will receive me." Let's pray. Dear Lord, so many of us have so much to be thankful for when it comes to our parents, and we thank You for good, godly parents. They weren't perfect, but they accepted Your call to be mothers and fathers and to lead. and we were blessed because they did. And we thank you for parents who may not know you, and we pray that they come to know you, but we thank you that they looked after us, they took care of us, they taught us some right from wrong, they helped us get a good and decent start in this life, and we just pray they come to know you, and we thank you for what they did. And there are situations where people fathered children and gave birth to children but refused the responsibility. And there's damage and there's hurt and there's pain and heartache because of that. But we look to you, the one who promises to be a father to the fatherless, the one who, even though mother and father reject, you receive us. And we just pray that you help us. Help us to pursue wisdom. Help each one of us to extend forgiveness. Help us all. Help us all to maintain a connection if possible. If nothing but for the hope of sharing Jesus Christ with those people who desperately need it. And help us have the courage and the strength to care for our own, to provide for our families. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.